Acts chapter 21. We have been with the Apostle Paul on quite a journey. We have 8 chapters left in the book of Acts. And we've read and discovered that he's taken 3 missionary journeys, or apostolic journeys, if you will. We've seen him be led to do what he's done, and God has met him. We've watched him be stoned, left for dead, rejected and kicked out of town. Why? Anybody tell me why? What was his biggest problem? He loved Jesus, and he preached the gospel of good news to people about finding Jesus that he loves. You see, when Paul met Jesus, Jesus had a purpose for him. And Paul knew that purpose, and he was fully given to that purpose, and he was persuaded that it was important enough to live for. And he desired with everything within him to obey the purpose of God. How many in this room want to, with everything within you, obey the purpose of God in your life? Come on, let me hear you say a loud amen. Acts 22, let's go there first. So I've got a couple of scriptures out of Acts 22 I want to give you, because it really deals with Paul's purpose in verses 14 and 15. Acts 22, verses 14 and 15, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will." This is God's word to Paul when he saved him. And Paul's telling about the calling God gave him. "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard." Now, when we think of Paul, so often, what do we think of? We think of the Pharisee, the guy who knows the word, the principle, the strong, the zealous, the impassioned, fearless leader. No matter what town he goes into and gets mistreated, he gets up, he keeps on going. But you know, there's a priority purpose behind everything Paul does. There's a bottom line reason. How could Paul do this? Why did Paul do this? You got to think to yourself, if you don't really understand discerning in the Spirit, or you're not a Christian and the Bible doesn't make sense to you, you got to think to yourself, because the guy's literally crazy. Why would he get up and keep going? Why would he go back into a town where they just piled him with a pile of stones, left him for dead, and he goes right back to the same town to share Jesus? Is he crazy? Yeah, he's crazy. Well, is he? What's really the purpose in his life? The reason Paul could do what he did is because of what's recorded right here. He knew he was called to know God's will, to see the just one, to hear the voice of his mouth, and then be his witness to all men of what he'd heard and seen. What does the word chosen mean? Let's go over some of the words, and then we're going to get back to Acts 21 this morning. But I'm going to spend a little time on this because Paul's calling is the same as our calling. Well, Pastor Kev, I'm not called to be an apostle. No, you're called to be an alive, sold out, born again Christian who loves Jesus with all of his heart and has a purpose beating in your soul. Is there a purpose beating in your heart this morning? Why do you get up and come to church? Why do you get up every day? Why do you celebrate Jesus? Why do you keep praying? Does everything always turn out just great? Do you always have good times in your life every day, every moment of the day? Let me see your hand. Oh, good. If I saw one, I was going to invite you to finish this message for me. Because I don't know anybody like that. But I do know the Jesus that keeps us going even when the times get tough. Right? Look at each other and say, Jesus keeps you going. Paul was chosen. Paul was chosen. That literally means in the Greek, he was called to handle, or God was going to handle for oneself in advance. He had a purpose. God was handling Paul in advance. He was taking care of him, fashioning, molding his life. Now, I don't think every choice Paul made in his life was pleasing to God before he got saved. But God kept guiding him on a path, and he saw to it that he had the right kind of background, the right kind of education, the right kind of zeal, the right kind of all the tools he would need, because God was handling Paul for a purpose. Church, God handled you and is handling you for a purpose. Your gifts, your education, your background, whatever it is that makes you what you are, God knows you. And there are people that he wants you to help to find Jesus. Can you say amen? God had chosen Paul. to know Jesus, first of all, intimately. That purpose and plan, first of all for Paul, not to go be the zealous Pharisee, but to know God, to know Jesus intimately. The Bible says to know his will. The Greek word there is gnosko. Say gnosko. You're all Greek scholars. Gnosko. And the Greek word gnosko means to know, to be aware of, to feel, to perceive. You need to know and be aware of, feel and perceive God. That's what he says. Paul, I've called you to know me, to know in a knower, that God is real, that you know him in here, you know him in here, and you spend time with him. How do you discover the will of God? How do you discover it? You just read it. You read it on a map. You can go down to the Chamber of Commerce Visitor Center and get a little map saying, here is the way to the will of God. Can you find that? It'd be easier sometimes that way, wouldn't it? How do you discover the will of God? You walk with Jesus. You talk with him. You listen to him. You worship him. You hang around his people. And you find out how he's leading, what he's doing, how to listen to his voice. A little bit later in our text this morning, we're going to discover there are a few occasions where Paul specifically knew what the next steps were. When he was on board a ship that was getting ready to be shipwrecked, an angel of the Lord met with Paul that night and told him exactly what was going to happen and told him how to conduct himself. That didn't happen most of the time in Paul's life. Do you know that? There was another occasion where Paul tells him prophetically, he's told that when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to have problems. He's going to have trouble. He's going to be girded about and tied up and put in chains, and trouble awaits you, Paul. That doesn't mean, by the way, a little bit of advance notice, that doesn't mean God said to Paul, don't go. God didn't say that to Paul. He just said, when you go, here's the problem that awaits you. A couple of times, God told that to Paul, but most of the time, Paul had to walk with Jesus, just like you and I do, every single day. And the way to discover the will of God is to spend time with him, face to face, to know Jesus, to hear his voice. Do you think you can do that? Come on, church, you think you can do that? It's not always easy. It's not always something we desire to do. How many really like to get alone and just spend a lot of quiet time listening for God's voice? Few of it. Yep, few of it. But you know, it's not the easiest thing to do because we have to shut up our flesh in order to do it. We got to say no to my desires because just as soon as you spend quiet time, don't you know, you sit down and all of a sudden 50 things come into your head about what you're supposed to accomplish that day. That's why you should always take a pencil and paper to your quiet time with the Lord. Write those things down, then forget about them and spend your time with the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit's just reminding you of the things that have to be accomplished. If you don't write them down, you know what will happen during your entire time with the Lord? You'll think about them because you don't want to forget them. Anybody ever been there? You know, yeah, 14 things, man. I know I got to do it. Oh, boy. And it just beats you up. But if you write it down, you get to be undistracted with the Lord. Anyway, Paul discovers what's happening to him as he walks with Jesus day by day, step by step. He goes into these communities. The Lord didn't tell Paul when he went into this one town he was going to be stoned and left for dead. Probably a good thing, isn't it? I'm not sure I'd take that assignment if I found out that was what was going to happen. But he kept walking with Jesus. The most important thing that happened in Paul's life that began all of this was on the road to Damascus. He had been persecuting the church, standing against this Jesus, and Jesus appears to him as a bright flash of light. And he calls Paul to his purposes. And at that moment, Paul discovered that Jesus didn't just do all of this for everybody out there, but he did this for me. Say it with me. Jesus did this for me. It's when you get personal that it all makes a difference in your life. As long as it's God did this for the whole world out there, it doesn't make a bit of difference. Church is a religious experience. Church is a social experience. But when you understand Jesus Christ did this for me, I needed deliverance, I needed forgiveness, I needed salvation, all of a sudden everything changes. And I fall in love with this Jesus who washes me clean. I fall in love with this Jesus who delivers me, who forgives me, who saves me, who gives me a reason for living. Anybody in this room in love for Jesus this morning? I love him because he first loved me. I love him because of what he did for me. It's not the trials, the testings, the temptation I want to focus on. It's this Jesus who delivers me. It's this Jesus who loves me. This Jesus who went to the cross and he did it for me. He didn't just do it for you. He did it for me. And every one of us should have that personal possession of a personal, living relationship with Jesus. We didn't just get saved once a long time ago so we go to heaven someday. We get saved and fall in love with Jesus personally, so we walk with Him and talk with Him every single day. God, what's your purpose for my life? How are you going to discover your purpose? If I just go to church on Sunday morning, sing a few songs, never spend any time with Him, never read the Bible, guess what life's going to be like? That pinball in a pinball machine, bing, 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 bing. I'll never know what His plan is. But God's got a plan for your life. And the only way you discover it is daily time with Him, daily being in the Word. You remember Paul? What did Paul say to Timothy? What did Paul say to him? He said, bring me the parchments. You know what the parchments were? The written Word of God, the Scriptures. Paul was into the Scripture daily. He spent time with God daily. He worshipped Him. They put Him in prison, and what comes out of Paul? You know, they put His hands in the stocks and in irons. He can't read the parchments. He can't write a letter. What can he do? Okay, I'm going to start singing praise to Jesus. Can't keep a good man down. Because he loved this Jesus who loved him. How did he discover the will of God? And what was the primary purpose of Paul? Now look, we can all say the primary purpose of Paul was to be a great apostle. What was Paul's primary purpose? Oh, to go lead people to Jesus. One of the greatest Christians who have ever lived. We have most of our New Testament because of Paul. Churches started. Great things started. The Church of Jesus Christ on a solid foundation because of Paul. But Paul's primary purpose, you see the Scripture, he even describes it himself. To know Him. To see Him. To listen to His voice. Church, that's the primary purpose of Paul's calling. Reduce it down to the most basic. Everything else he did was because of that. The fourth thing in that list is you will be a witness because of what you have seen and heard. The calling or the ministry of Paul is secondarily to the calling of Paul, which is to be a lover of Jesus. First and foremost in our life. It's not your ministry that makes it. If you put ministry before the heart, you'll soon dry up and you won't get much fruit in your life. There are even famous ministries who will tell you they've fallen into sin or had trouble because they got the ministry ahead of the relationship. Paul said, I was called to see Him, to hear Him, to listen to His voice. And then when you share with other people in your ministry, it's easy. You don't have to have 15 reasons why you can preach on this point or that point. All you need to do is talk about what you've seen and heard from Jesus, what you've experienced in your relationship with Him. Amen? A testimony is a living testimony. A witness is a living witness when it has the substance of real living to it. I've been with Jesus. Let me tell you about Him. He is the one that makes my life sing. Amen? He's the one I do all this for. And Paul grasped it. Paul surrendered his life to Jesus, and he had this love relationship with Jesus. We think of Paul, the big apostle. And what we should think, first of all, is Paul, who was so in love with Jesus that he did all this day in, day out, week in, week out, got stoned, left for dead, got shipwrecked, got everything. Why? Because he loved Jesus. His will. God chose Paul to feel after and understand God's choices. That's what the word will means. Thelema, a choice, a purpose, and decree. God says, Paul, I want you to know my purpose and decree. Church, God wants you to know His purpose and decree. He wants you to see the just one. That literally means to know, to be aware, to behold. You know, Sandy Patty used to sing a glorious song, I will behold Him. We want to see Him face to face. Anybody in this room want to see Jesus face to face? Come on. I want to see Him face to face. I used to say, you know, you get people in the body of Christ who get angels and they visit them and they get visions. And I'll just take black and white. I don't even have to have color. It's okay. I just want to see Jesus. What burns in your soul? You know, I can talk to you all day long about the devil. I can talk to you all day long about the trials. I can talk to you all day long about the tests because they're full in there. But what I want to talk to you about is Jesus, the one who loves you. Turn to each other and say, just shake each other this morning. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Church, he loves you. I want to talk about relationship with him. Then, when you experience that relationship with him, when you go through a trial, a test, a temptation, you want to please him. You see him. You walk with him through it. I'm not just a philosophical Christian walking through life. What am I? I'm a lover of Jesus walking through life. It's all about personal relationship. To see the just one. How many remember the old Robert Hooke pictures? Remember you guys used to have one up on your fireplace mantle. Remember the old Robert Hooke pictures? You'd see them in Bible bookstores. The kind of outline, the drawing of Jesus' face. Masculine looking. He wasn't a pasty, wimpy Jesus. He was a masculine looking Jesus. There was one common thing. I've talked about this before, but there was one common thing in all these pictures of Jesus that were drawn by Robert Hooke. You'll see them in Christian bookstores. And that is, no matter where you go in the room, the eyes follow you. Did you ever notice that? No matter where you go, the eyes are, you go over here, you look, Jesus is looking at you. Go over here, you look, Jesus is looking at you. No matter where you go in the room. You know, I don't know how you accomplish that, but how many of you know that's true? No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, Jesus is looking at you. Isn't that a comforting thought? But you know, it is a comforting thought. You know, if I'm doing 10,000 things that I don't want him to look at, I probably shouldn't be doing at least 10,000 of them. He's looking at you. Paul says, I'm called to see him. I want to see him face to face. I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just sing songs. I don't want to play religion. I don't want to have a building for a building. I could care less. I want to please Jesus. I want to do what he wants done. I want to know him. I want to see him. And then I want to share him with you. We'll share him together. And I want to be conformed to his image. You know, the fires of testing come in all of our lives. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues, all of that, the Bible talks about all of that, and the Scripture talks about it. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That literally means, I'm speaking to you from the Greek, this is literally what it means. You build yourself up in order to go successfully through those dealings and trials. How many know you need more strength? Can anybody in this room use more strength in your life? Let me see a show of hands. If you don't think you need strength, you can keep your hand down. That's okay. I need more strength, I'll raise my hand for you if you didn't raise your hand, okay? We need more strength. So we spend time with Jesus face to face, prayer, reading the Word, so we can walk with him day by day. Some days are great. Honestly, some days are the pits. But he's with you on the mountain. He's with you in the pits. Now, I can guarantee you, I know Pastor Carl would have been a man of faith if he'd found that there was something in the PET scan. But how many of you know that day would have been totaled up as a day in the pits? So we get to rejoice in a day on the mountain. But life is like that. And Jesus is there the whole time. I'm really trying to talk heart to heart with you this morning. It's not an outline that you're going to take home. It's not fancy preaching you're going to take home. But church, we're really nothing if we don't have the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter if we have 23 or 3,003. If we don't have the presence of the Lord, if we don't have a heart to know Jesus intimately, face to face, personally, we don't have a church. Because the church is the people of God's presence. As for me and my house, I want to be a man of his presence. How about you? I want to see him. And I have to tell you, the reality to me as I was studying this, and I spent a lot of time on this last night. I spent hours reading through the Word and trying to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say to these people who have gathered to be nourished from your Word? And the most important thing was the fact that Paul the Apostle, the church builder, Paul the Apostle, the strong man, walked through temptations. Man almost walked through buildings and almost walked through walls and left over buildings. You know, that's how you feel about Paul. Most important thing about his life, he says of himself in his ministry as he's telling these people. We're coming toward the end of Paul's ministry here. He's going to get arrested. He's going to spend 2 years in jail. Then he's going to go up for 2 years, spend two more years in Rome. He's going to be released. Then he's going to get rearrested. And eventually, Paul's going to get beheaded. He's coming to maybe the last 5, 6 years, 8 years of his ministry and of his life. And when you cut him, what he bleeds is, what makes you tick, Paul? It's not 14 great points I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. It's the fact that Jesus is everything. Jesus is all in all. And I was called first to see him. And I was called to hear him and to listen to him. And I was called to understand what he says to me. And then it's not a challenge. I'm so in love with him. Even if it's tough, I get to go out and share with others about this Jesus who can save their soul and walk with them. It's not just saving your soul for someday. It's the fact that he's right here with you today. I don't know what you're going to go through this afternoon. Some of us might get in an accident. Some of us might have the best day of our lives. Some of us might be tested. I don't know what you're going through. But for some reason, Jesus wants you to know he wants to be with us. He wants you to take time with him. He wants you to see him face to face. Oh God, dig out my ears so that I may hear your voice. You want me to be really honest with you? I will confess to you that I have had times where I have been disheartened, discouraged, and wondered whether God was on the journey at all. But my heart, his heart, won't let me go. It's kind of like when I gave my life to Jesus personally. He roped me in. He attracted me by his love. He saved me, forgave me. He captured me. No fair. But it's what he did. And even when I don't feel him, somehow my heart can't get far away from the fact that he's there. That he's real. I don't want anybody in this room to go to hell. There's a heaven, there's a hell. But there's a heaven on earth to live every single day with Jesus Christ as well. Oh God, the calling of the Apostle Paul, this great man of God, built most of the church. He's identifying right now, he's boiling it down to two simple verses. The purpose of my life. To know him, to hear him, to see him, and to share him. To know him, to see him, to hear him, to share him. The Bible says he was supposed to hear God's voice, and then he would be a witness. The word witness is not a fun word in the Greek. It's martus, from which we get our word martyr. But the word martyr, in addition to what we typically think, also means one who bears record or witness. I can stand in front of you and I can preach 60 points of something I don't know and something I don't understand. You won't find me here preaching 10 billion messages on the end times. What's going to happen? Do I understand some of the end times? Sure, I have what I believe is an understanding on many things in the end times. But you know what we're going to find out about the end times, the last days, how it all wraps up? You know what we're going to find out? We're going to find out that many of our charts were wrong, and that he's going to do whatever he wants to do, and I just want to be with him. The best thing I can help you with on the end times is get your walk right with God, your heart right with God, get clean from sin, so you're right exactly where he wants you to be when he does whatever he's going to do. There's your end time message. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. Pastor Carl preached for 35 years. Still a phrase that sticks with me. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. Then no matter what happens. I thought of an interesting story in light of Mother's Day, because Paul says, he's called to see and hear, and he's going to share what he sees and hears. Okay, I got a little story for you. Maybe your mothers were the same. Now, my mom is a great lady. I didn't always think that. You know that, don't you? I was sometimes really frustrated with my mom. Of course, I don't have to tell you how many times she was frustrated with me. But my mom was a modeling instructor, and she had a show in Vegas for a while, and a television show, and she had her own finishing schools, and she was actually a superb communicator. She was a wonderful speaker, but toward the end of her life, beyond all of that, she really loved Jesus, and she really loved people. She really did. But let me tell you what happened that my mom used to do, and it only happened a couple of times, but oh man, it made me so mad. Anybody in this room? You're sitting next to your mom, moms ever make you mad? Okay, keep your hands down. Moms, did your kids ever make you mad? Raise your hands. Okay. Now, you know, when you're bad, I know I really need to move along, but when you're bad, you know how you knew you were bad, don't you? Kevin Orley Hunter. All three names. What was really funny, though, and no matter how angry she was, she blew the anger. She blew her moment. Because it would go like this. My older brother's named Newell, my middle brother's named Brad, and it would go like this. Newell, Brad, and Kevin! Did you ever do that with your kids? When the heat's on, you can't remember what their name is, you just want that kid! Okay, well, I was just always mild-mannered and shy, and I never did anything wrong in my house. Okay. When I mess up, when I mess up, probably you should know this about me. You're going to have to pray for me, because when I messed up, I usually really did it big, you know? If you're going to get in trouble, well, then make it worthwhile, you know? Anyway, that's not a good philosophy. I didn't preach that. Take that off the tape. Okay, but a couple of times, I knew when I really messed up. Because my mom would turn into an iceberg, and she wouldn't talk. The silent treatment. Now, those of you who know me, I'm just slightly vocal. Well, that means she's, yeah. Susan's on the phone with me the other day. He asked me a question. I started to answer him. He goes, "No, wait a minute, I'm talking." I said, "Well, you asked me a question." I knew when I was really in trouble. Only happened a couple of times. Silence. And at first, I was so mad. I was so ticked. Nothing made me madder than that. She'd do it to my brother, and it was okay then. But it happened a couple of times with me. And she was silent. And then I went from mad to sad. Because, hey, this is home. And home's supposed to be all about relationship. And you know how we get with God? You're supposed to love me no matter what I do. That's how we are with God, isn't it? No matter what I do, I know you don't want me to do this. Here I go. You're supposed to still love me. But you know what's real? I told that story to say this. The Bible says sin separates you from God. Sin makes it so you can't hear God. You ever try to pray and the heavens are as brass? There are three of you, okay? I've been there. It's okay, I've been there. But sin means there's a separation. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The death process enters into your soul and enters into your spirit. And you cannot hear God. Remember, the prophet went into a cave. He wanted to see and hear God. And remember what happened? The earthquake comes along. And God wasn't in the earthquake. The mighty winds come along. God wasn't in the mighty wind. The great roaring fire may not have been in there. I'm making that one up, I think. Anyway, he wasn't in the great roaring fire. But do you remember? He was in the still, small voice. And when the prophet heard the still, small voice, he put his covering over his head and bowed before God because he knew God was there. Church, one of the judgments of God in our lives is when we no longer hear the voice of God. Now, maybe you don't hear an audible voice every day, but God wants to lead us. He will prompt you. He will guide you. He will be very faithful to convict you when and if you sin, or if you're thinking of going off the mark. And one of the judgments of God is when he says, nothing. It's been said by some, one of the judgments of God is when God finally lets us have our own way. Those are ouch statements, are they not? Come on, isn't this real? I want my own way, but I don't want to lose the voice of God. So therefore, I guess I have to say, I don't really want my own way, Lord. Change my heart so that I don't want that way. What I want is your way. And it's not easy, and it's not always fun. And it's not always something I want. But Jesus, what I want is you. And when I got things right, my mom started talking to me again. Now here I am, an ancient man from there, much older, and I've never forgotten it. Oh God, don't give us the silent treatment. Keep working with us as men and women of your presence. If I mess up, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive my sin. If I confess and repent of that sin, that's good news. But his goal is that I not mess up, but grow up. Get more like him and keep hearing him. How are you pointing your life today? You can point your life at the trials, the temptations, the yuck, or you can point your life at Jesus. I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to be just like you. I don't want you to have to walk away from me. I want to hear your still small voice. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to do the other part of Acts 21 that I was going to do. I'm going to leave it right there. How could Paul go through what he went through? How could he keep going? Stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked. We'll find it again. The first part of Acts 21, he's racing all around to get to Jerusalem to give him the offering. And then they prophesy over him about trouble coming. But he says, it's not the trouble, it's the Jesus that I want to please. Church, do you want to know, hear, and please Jesus? Is that what's in your heart this morning? I want to see Jesus on the journey. I want to know him. I want to hear him. Paul's calling, he could confirm it right to the end of his life, because that's what he lived. Let's stand. Jesus, today, Our hearts are to know you more than ever before. Our hearts are to surrender to you more than ever before. Our hearts are to adore you more than ever before. Sometimes this journey is something that we clearly don't understand. We don't know which way to go or what to do. But Lord, I can say one thing that I believe all of us really have in our hearts this morning. We want to do whatever you're doing. We want to be with you. So you lead the way. You guide us. When you show it to us plainly, we want to take those steps you want us to take. When we don't understand, we want to keep walking by faith, holding your hand. Maybe that's the easier way to say it this morning. By faith sounds religious. We want to walk just holding your hand, loving you on the journey because you first loved us. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never actually surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, He is the Lord and the Savior who loves you right through to your core. He created you for a purpose. He doesn't want you to throw away the purpose. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants you to walk with Him day by day and then be ushered into heaven to be with Him forever. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's you on your heart this morning. You want to give your life to the Lord, come right down on front. We'll be praying for you. There'll be people here to pray. If you need healing in your body, there'll be people here to pray for you. We believe that God is here to heal. If you have something on your heart and want to take time, just talk to the Lord about it. There'll be chairs in the front row. There'll be altar area or space here anyway. If you'd like prayer, we'd be happy and honored to pray with you. I want you to experience and enjoy Jesus today. He loves you. He wants you to see Him, to know Him, to hear Him, and then to share Him. Amen, church?